Welcome back. Good to have you with us. This is Mark Steiner. I'm here with our co-host for today. He's joining us here in the studio, Dr. Lawrence Brown. Good to have you with us again, Lawrence.
Always a pleasure. Yes, sir.
And we're about to talk to someone who I have not spoken with since he was...
Some of these most recent incidents, they didn't know, despite the fact that it had been documented within the organization itself. They say, for example, with regard to that flu virus...
All right, we're about to have a conversation with Roger Gwenver Smith, who has not been on this program since he had that incredible one-man show, Huey Newton. You've seen him many times in movies, and he's an incredible actor. He's adapted his Obie Award-winning solo performance as Huey Newton into a Peabody Award-winning telefilm. And his most recent play is Rodney King, that's now playing at Woolly Mammoth and joins us here by phone. Roger, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me back. Lovely to have you talk to me on this lovely day.
It is a lovely day.
Thank you for sharing it with me.
And the number here is 410-319-8888. Write to us here, steinershow@gmail.com. And you can also log on to our Facebook pages. Tweet me at Mark Steiner, 410-319-8888. So, Roger, I've not seen this production yet. I'm dying to see it because your work always is, it's so well-documented, thought through. And you come through with a passion because you pick your subjects, it seems to me, from things that you want to think, that you think have to be said.
I do, and thank you so much for your interest and for your support. My current piece is called Rodney King, and it is focusing on the man whom we lost 2 years ago, 2 summers ago, who was, of course, thrust into international prominence in 1991, when he was beaten by the Los Angeles Police Department. The beating was videotaped and disseminated all over the world. Those officers who beat him were acquitted a year later, and because of that acquittal, in large measure, Los Angeles went up into flames. And it was the largest conflagration in American history since the New York City draft riots in July of 1863.
We're going to play a little piece of what you're doing here, and Lawrence is going to jump in with his own thoughts and questions for you as well. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I find interesting, unlike what you did, as I remember Huey Newton, you are you're asking questions, talking with Rodney King, as opposed to playing Rodney King on the stage. Right?
Yeah, that's the premise of this particular exploration of Mr. King. I do, however, interpret his May Day speech, May 1st, 1992, in its entirety. It's usually edited, it's usually misquoted, but I try to do him justice with the interpretation of the speech because I think it is one of the great American speeches. It stopped a riot.
So can you? Could you? You know, I'm not. I am not aware of the entire speech. I feel embarrassed there, but I'm not. So talk us about what is the essence of that speech that Americans don't know? All we know, of course, is can't we all get along? But you're saying there's something much deeper and more important here than can we all just get along?
I think that probably what's most important is that he answers his own question towards the end of the speech and says we can get along. We can get along. He has, despite the trauma that he's gone through, an innate sense of hope and trust in human dignity and decency. And he could have, gotten up there and said, "Burn it down," and let's get some revenge here. But he didn't. He had a tremendous sense of poise, particularly considering the pressure that he was under and the pressure that the city was under. You must understand that this was a city that was on fire. There were people screaming, "No justice, no peace," and "F the police." And this is for you, Rodney. This is for you, Rodney King. And there were many, many innocent people who lost their lives and whose lives were changed forever. Because of what happened in the course of those 3 or 4 days in L.A. And it was a very difficult thing for Rodney King to absorb, and I think that it was a very difficult thing for him to live with for the rest of his life. He lived for 20 more years, and we had hoped, of course, that his wounds were healed in the spring of 2012. He had published a book entitled
Right.
The Riot Within. He was doing book tours. He was being very well received. He was speaking with coherence and with, you know, great light. And on Father's Day, June 17th, 2012, we lost him at the bottom of his swimming pool in his backyard. And when I heard of the loss, I was devastated because I had depended, I think, upon Rodney King as a symbol of resilience, as a symbol of survival. And again, I have always thought that his speech was one of the great American speeches, right up there with that other King.
So, go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you, Roger, for being here. This is a sounds like a really powerful play. I saw your work, a Huey P. Newton story, was really inspired by that. And maybe you just answered the question, but what is it that inspired you to take on the life and the incident that happened to Rodney King?
Well, I think that, again, I was quite moved when I got the news that we had lost him, particularly the way that we had lost him. And I wanted to know why I was moved in the way that I was. I didn't know him personally. I had never met him. I never heard him speak. But I had referenced him in my work over the course of 20 years. But I wanted to know why and why I cared and why, by extension, my audience should care. And that's probably why the piece is poised as a series of questions, not unlike a post-mortem interview between myself as a narrator and the late Rodney King.
I think this is important the way you are approaching this, because I think in all the conversations I've ever heard about Rodney King, I've never heard him approach other than how to approach himself in his autobiography, but never heard him approach in the way you're doing it, because he became, because of what happened to him, what you're describing is a man who's symbolic of some of the depths of American culture that we didn't give him credit for to understand.
Yes, and I think that there were certain expectations that we put upon his shoulders that I don't think that any person could live up to. He was a regular guy. He was out that night because he had a job to go to on Monday morning. He was out on Saturday night celebrating. And he had too much to drink. And he was pulled over, and he was given a beating which he certainly didn't deserve.
Correct.
And
yes.
Had it not been documented, he might not have survived that evening. He went on to be a kind of semi-celebrity. He was actually on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew. He was on Celebrity Boxing, in which he boxed a former cop up in Philadelphia. he eventually got a civil suit settlement and invested it in real estate, but he also invested it in a hip-hop label, which folded quite quickly. He had continuous run-ins with the law, DUI issues, domestic abuse issues. This was a man who was in constant conflict with society and, I would presume, with himself as well.
Roger, I'm loath to ask you this, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Because we were going to play a piece that was on the New York Times website.
Sure.
Would you mind giving us a little piece of how you perform this? Anything that might you think would be appropriate?
I think I might be able to give you a little a little bit of something, but please know that I am at the Woolly Mammoth Theater through this Sunday.
Oh, we're going to tell folks Woolly. That. It'll be on our website as well, but you can tell them too.
Go to woollymammoth.net. That's woollymammoth.net, and we have 7 more shows remaining. We do it every night at 8 o'clock, Sundays at 7, and then we do matinees Saturday at 3 and Sunday at 2.
We'll have all that on our website. We have one question from the audience before we go too, but if you could just give us listeners a flavor, I apologize even for asking you. But
can we?
Mm-hmm.
Can we all get along? Can we? Can we? Can we try to make it not so horrible for the older folks and the kids? I mean, there's enough smog in Los Angeles without having to, you know, put out these fires and things. It's not right. It's not right. Not going to change anything. We'll get our justice. They've won the battle, but they haven't won the war. We'll have our day in court, which is all we want. I love every. I'm neutral. I'm not what they're picking me out to be. I love people of color. We've got to quit. I mean, I can understand the first upset, you know, first couple of hours after the verdict, but just keep on going on like this. It's not right. And to see the security guard shot down on the ground, it's not right, because these people will never go home to their families again. People, we can't get along. We can get along. We can get along. We can get along. We just have to work it out. I mean, we're all stuck here for a while, so let's, you know, work it out. Let's try to be the, you know, let's work it out.
I've always been an admirer of your work, Robert, and I'm so happy you were willing to do a little piece of that for us. It's very powerful work.
Powerful.
Let's get a very quick question here before Roger has to go, and we have to Robert has to go, and we have to go to our next guest. 410-319-8888. Sarah, you're on the air.
Hi,
Sarah.
Hi, thank you. I just want to say that this is, to all the listeners of the Mark Steiner Show, that this is an incredible work that everyone should try to get down to D.C. if they're able to see. It's extremely moving and powerful. And just wanted to comment that this is still a reality today, that, you know, Tyrone West's family is going to be on the show later this week, and that police brutality is something that is still present in America. There may not be race riots about it, but there's certainly Ta-Nehisi Coates is trying to move forward a conversation about reparations in the United States, and this can be a part of that conversation, I feel like.
I agree completely, Sarah. Thank you so much for that. And I think that what this piece does that Robert put together, it shows us what one artist can do. Roger, excuse me, I keep changing your name, Roger. What artists can do to kind of bring something to the fore, and the power that art has in our lives that we don't get, often don't get. And I want to thank you once again, Roger Glenver-Smith, for being with us. Please get down to D.C. It's just down the road. Maybe you live in Prince George's County or D.C. and you're listening to this program anyway, and you're just around the corner. It'll be at Woolly Mammoth, woollymammoth.net. It'll be there through July 20th. Do not miss this. He is one of the finest performers in America today. And you will, and my producers went to see it and just fell in love with this piece and brought it back to us. So Roger Glenver-Smith, thank you so much again for the work you do.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. You know, I think that it's important that we listen to not only Rodney King, but that we listen to other unheard voices across our country. Sometimes we can get wisdom from really the most obscure corners of our great nation, and it takes an open ear, and I appreciate you opening our ear on a consistent basis, Mark. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Roger. Take care. Good to talk to you once again.
All the best.
All the best.
See you at woollymammoth.net.
That's it.
The 20th with Rodney King.
Don't miss it. Roger Glenver-Smith till the 20th. We're going to take a brief break. When we come back, we're going to meet some young people here in our community who have been homeless, who are part of Youth Empowered Society. Don't go away.
Nah, I done grew around some people living their life in bottles. Granddaddy had the golden flask, backstroke every day in Chicago. Some people like the way it feels, some people want to kill their sorrow. Some people want to fit in with the popular, that was my problem. I was in a dark room, loud tunes, looking to make a vow soon that I'ma get f***ed up, filling up my cup. I see the crowd mood changing by the minute, and the record on repeat. Took a sip, then another sip, then somebody said to me, why you babysitting? Only two or three shots. I'ma show you how to turn it up a notch. First you get a swimming pool full of liquor, then you dive in it. Pool full of liquor, then you dive in it. I wave a few bottles, then I watch them all fly. All the girls wanna play, they watch. I got a swimming pool full of liquor, and they dive in it. Pool full of liquor, I'ma dive in it.
Pour. Drink. Headshot. Drink. Sit down. Drink. Stand up.